The Jesuits and spiritual directors of Ignatius House Jesuit Retreat Center invite you into prayer. As we begin our prayer time, we pause for a moment, rest our bodies, and sense God's loving gaze upon us. God is here, inviting us to be still and know that I am God. I ask God for the grace to name my weaknesses and be grateful for the opportunity to reach out for God's help. Our reading is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. To keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Our second voice is Elise Fitzpatrick. The weaknesses, failures, and sins of our family are the places where we learn that we need grace too. It is there, in those dark mercies, that God teaches us to be humbly dependent. It is there that He draws near to us and sweetly reveals His grace. Paul's suffering teaches us to reinterpret our thorn. Instead of seeing it as a curse, we are to see it as the very thing that keeps us pinned close to the Lord. Let these words sink into your soul. Our reflection is by Maria Kressler.
At the end of most days, as I sit in the wonderful traffic of 285 on my way home, I often have the time to review my day, my daily examine, if you will. And usually my weaknesses seem to be the first things to come up. I am chastising myself for the ways that I am weak, where I didn't resist my temptations. And I don't mean the chocolate basket at the front desk of Ignatius House, but more like when I should have not spoken, or perhaps I said too much. Usually I say aloud in the car, "Oh, Maria," lamenting, clearly not your best self. But at the same time, in my conversations with Jesus, he may point out where I did good with his help. and with his help, how I might do better tomorrow, repair if I need to. And I realize in doing so, I am stronger. Strength, weakness, considered opposites, as in the world of business and organizations. They are categories in a SWOT analysis. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. In the context of business, strengths and weaknesses are clearly opposites. In business, we try to lean into our strengths and work at eliminating our weaknesses. But this is not what Paul, I believe, is talking about here exactly. Paul's revelation looks at things kind of upside down or inside out, which is exactly what Jesus often did, going against the current, against popular understanding. Though when Paul was Saul, he certainly didn't see it so. Nothing has changed with time because we understand strength and weakness in much the same way as in Jesus' time. Strength referred to power, and certainly weakness as those without power. That's what made Jesus such a radical. Take the Beatitudes, for instance. Jesus presents ideas of happiness and blessedness that are completely countercultural. The poor, not the wealthy, the meek, not the strong, the persecuted, not the leaders, all are blessed. How hard it must have been to understand such a concept as an oppressed people. Jesus, this charismatic leader, professed a new way of living, a new way of being, showing us a different way to find freedom. But in the end, he appears the weakest of them all. He was stripped naked, beaten, and broken. And to most in the culture, then and today, would see him as at the bottom, a loser. But what the disciples eventually understood, and Paul came to understand, is that weakness can be our strength. And this is what we are invited to embrace in these readings. As Richard Rohr has pointed out in previous writings, Paul can talk in this paradoxical way about power and weakness because he meditated on the mystery of the cross. The one who was a failure became the redeemer. The one who looked naked and weak and like a loser became the ultimate winner. And so Paul sums it up with his beautiful philosophy, ending with the line, "It is when I am weak that I am strong." Paul came to know a different God after he was knocked down. In his darkness and contemplation, he came to see the God who chose him was a crucified God and not an omnipotent or an almighty God. And by the way, these are words that Paul never uses when speaking of God, but instead a vulnerable, risk-taking God, a God willing to lay down his life for his friends. So while we can see this paradox where weakness becomes strength in Jesus, what does this say to us on a personal level? It's still a paradox that can be hard to grasp. Again, I look at the business world, and in any employee review, we point out someone's strengths in one area of their work and then perhaps a weakness, areas where they need improvement. Rarely are we looking at the two of these aspects as equivalent. But today in these readings, we hear Paul boast with gratitude for the thorn. He's grateful for the areas where he needs improvement. So what exactly is Paul driving at here? Perhaps it is that when I am weak, I need God more. And when I think I've got it, I think I'm doing it all on my own, I forget that it's not me, but God in me. The strength comes from God. As we say, all things are possible with God. Often we need to be humbled in order to know we need God. I am more inclined to be on my knees looking for God when I am weak. But the converse is also true. I need to be praising God, working in me when I am strong. And this is what I believe Elise is driving at in that second reading when she says our vices keep us pinned close to God. So yes, as recently we exclaimed in the Easter vigil, exulted, oh, happy fault, the sin of Adam that brought us the Redeemer, our sin brought us the Redeemer. It is in our imperfection that we call out for assistance, because we have to lean into grace, lean into God. It is exactly what is meant by all things are possible with God. We just can't do it alone. But Paul does more than speak of our weaknesses. He adds at the end, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. And then he points out, whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Okay, once again, why? Because then I call on God. I know for me, perhaps you too, I don't want to have to deal with all these pains of life. But the truth is, we find our strength in these times. And we grow more deeply dependent on God. And in my world, more in love with God. Our relationship just gets stronger. Each time we do, we face the next trials in life with an openness to the knowledge that God will give us the strength. For me, this is lived out in the daily examine. If I am honest and I can name my weaknesses, my faults, I am more ready to ask for the assistance I need for tomorrow. It allows me to also look at where God is showing up for me and has given me the strength. On days when I have had to overcome obstacles, made it through difficult situations, I see God at work in me. Jesus' entire ministry was contrary to the thinking of the day. His very life and willingness to die, not fight back, not defend himself, was not understood until after the resurrection. Then suddenly the disciples, and then eventually Paul, came to see the great aha moment, that there really is strength in weakness. Bottom line, God's grace is sufficient. So let us pray with St. Ignatius, with hearts burning on fire. Your love and your grace are enough for me. Please, God, let them be.
Speak to God in these final moments about whatever is stirring in your heart. Good and gracious God, be near me in my time of weakness. Sustain me by your grace, that I may find strength and courage to love as you have called me to love. Help me always to believe that with you, all things are possible. You are my strength. Amen.